It's the trifecta. 307 at 590 WKZO. Raj Taylor and Denny Cooley in today, and coming along in just a couple of minutes, Sean McCann will be joining us, and we'll talk to him about his desire to serve in the Michigan Senate and what he might bring to that situation. I got a brief follow-up on the conversation we had yesterday afternoon with Mark Phelan. Mark's the auto critic for the Detroit Free Press, and he was describing what he sent me a picture last evening. And if you do Facebook, you can go to my Facebook page and see it, of a new Lexus that he thought was aesthetically challenged, let's put it that way. I always put thing in the lowest possible way. And I said, you mean it's uglier than a Pontiac Aztec? And it is.
Well, I'm sorry I'm late. An Aztec was blocking the hallway.
Yeah.
So I got in here a couple of minutes late. Sorry about that.
But I heard from a couple of people yesterday via phone, and I received some email from some Pontiac Aztec owners.
Well, you should have.
Who knew there were that many out there?
That's right. That's right.
In other news, there's still a lot of Pontiac Aztecs on the road,
that's
apparently.
Right. That's right.
And I offended them.
Well, we've got a guest coming up, but I do want to mention a couple of things. Big weekend in Kalamazoo. We've got the NSRA Street Rods in town, one of the big events annually happening out at the Kalamazoo County Expo Center and Fairground, and that's today through Sunday. And also, today is Bronco Bash, a lot of freebies for all the students out there. That's just now getting underway, and we'll go until 7 o'clock tonight. Our own Jay Morris, with the Z96.5 is out there. He will hopefully be giving us a call later on to give us an update on what's happening on campus today.
And a busy day.
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
And joining us in the studio is Sean McCann. How you doing, Sean?
Great. My second time here today.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
I'm around the district today.
Yes, and well, if you want to run for the Senate, you got to get out there in front of people.
Tis the season.
Indeed,
yeah.
Get the word out.
Well, we're going to start the show, and then we'll chat.
You don't want me to sing.
No, we'll let Kate Smith do the national anthem for us.
From above, from
Denny and I are old enough to remember Kate Smith.
Oh, absolutely.
Young man, have I'm certain, have no recollection of Kate Smith.
Only in the movies.
Yeah,
I think they still play that, her version of that, during the seventh inning stretch at Yankee Stadium.
As well they should.
I think they do.
It is a damn fine version of the song. Well, Sean, welcome to the trifecta. We are a trifecta at this time.
Yeah. It's official, that's right.
It's Denny, it's Roger, and it's Sean McCann. Sean, why are you going to run for the Senate? You don't have enough aggravation in your life?
Oh, well, I have a toddler and I have a 3.5-year-old and an infant, but...
Oh, that may explain...
Says it all, actually, yeah.
No, seriously, what prompted your want to move from the House to the Senate?
Mm-hmm. Yep, well, I think, you know, I feel strongly about some key priorities that are important to me and to Michigan, and I think that those things need to be taken to a higher level, and the Senate is a place to do that. And so I have a mantra about jobs and education and also constituent service, and I'm going to talk about that and also listen to folks in Kalamazoo County and see what they say.
Well, let's talk about your view of education. For a few years now, we've been whacking education budgets. I'm hoping you don't want to continue that trend.
Quite the opposite. And, you know, I think that we are an exceptional community, both Kalamazoo and Kalamazoo County, beyond not only what's exceptional about the Kalamazoo Promise, but really, I mean, we have from Vicksburg to Richland to Portage and Oshtemo, great school systems throughout, and a couple that are struggling have had tough times. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I think that that is what's made us attractive to economic development. As we did better, I think, in the last decade of the auto industry decline, as better than a lot of communities did across Michigan. And that's because we were diversified and because we had the promise going on and we had a stronger, broader-based economy here in the community. And that would have helped Michigan out, not only from not being dependent on the auto industry so much, because the rescue has certainly helped our economy out, but not a whole lot else has helped out Michigan's economy. And for us to be cutting schools to the degree that we've been cutting them does not send the correct signal across the state, across the nation, that we want to have a talented and educated workforce and a good quality of life in Michigan. They go hand in hand, and that's what I think is the recipe that we have that needs to be taken across the state of Michigan. And so I'm very much in favor of a better direction and certainly greater funding for public education.
All right.
I think that your point is well taken. Kalamazoo, while the auto industry was foundering, also survived what happened to the Upjohn Company. Mm-hmm. And there's, about half the number of employees that there once was. And yet the Kalamazoo area has survived that. And we're starting to see some new jobs coming. I was on Parkview last night and noticed the new Rubbermaid research facility has broken ground.
And those come, quite frankly, with state government incentives involved.
Right.
And so this notion of job creation is certainly an integral part of what government does. And it also, I mean, we've seen a couple things falter because of tools that were taken out of the toolbox, like the Brownfield Redevelopment Tax Credit and the Historic Tax Credit. We saw, you know, I think that helped lead to the eventual demolition of East Campus because there was an idea on the table and there was a potential developer, and then that went away. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, taking tools out of the toolbox, making us less competitive doesn't help. But on the same token, we've done some really good things with the BTR Park connected to Western and the Smart Zone there and some of the incentives that have come with that.
You know, Sean, along with education cuts, we've also seen in recent years in some pockets police and fire departments taking a hit as far as their budgets. I'm curious about your thoughts on that.
Well, that goes hand in hand with the quality of life piece. I mean, So a good community with good schools has a good community of life. And when you decrease resources to local municipalities, which has also happened, well, then you have to start reducing police officers, increasing your response times, and and you know, streets are swept less often. You've seen services and activities reduced in Portage, and certainly in Kalamazoo and across the community. So, and the second piece of that, I don't want to take up too much time, but there's been a tax shift at the state level. Not only the taxes placed on seniors' retirement incomes, but also, when, for example, the state cuts back on services but says, oh, the locals can pick it up, well, the taxpayer is still footing more of the bill even though the state is paying less.
And it might have been cheaper had it been done at the state level versus doing, how many counties are there in Michigan?
83, I think.
83.
Right?
Inventing the wheel 83 times. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's bothered me over the past years is not understanding that not maintaining our infrastructure is deficit spending. It may not show up in the budget this year, but we're going to have to fix our roads, bridges, and what are we going to do about Michigan's embarrassing state of its infrastructure? Why can't we seem to get a roads program going?
Well, I think that's a great question, and I am waiting to see a plan myself, a proposal that still has never come and fully formed out of the legislature or the governor's office at this point. And now we're hearing really that the governor's kind of saying, well, nothing along the scale of the $1.2 billion investment is going to happen, even because it's just been, I think the Senate majority leader said that they kept throwing things up against the wall and they all slid down, nothing stuck. So it's basically been all kinds of ideas, but with no form plan. So it's really even hard to respond to. I talked to Channel 3 earlier today, and they were talking about toll roads, and that's just one component. So that could be out there. But nothing's come together. There's been no proposal put on the table by the folks who were in the leadership positions to do that. So I don't know that I see any good solution. At this juncture, I would welcome something to respond to and consider, but there's nothing but moving parts and diminishing momentum at this point.
Why do you think the current legislature, the current Senate, doesn't see the problem? Do they not drive back and forth to Lansing on the same roads I use? Because if you drive very far in Michigan, you can't help but see the problem.
Well, very true. This is I've talked to many groups about this, and it's a classic issue of how do you pay for it? And some folks seem to only want to raise certain taxes and call it the reset button, but not other taxes when it's going to hit a motorist in their pocketbook or on the registration fee.
Okay. We are October 1st going to see what I call Obamacare go into effect. Had you been in the Senate, where would you have come down on that issue?
I appreciate being asked that. I would have supported it just as I did in the House.
Okay.
I think that the community supported Medicaid expansion, or call it whatever you will, but that's what it generally is known as, a component of Obamacare. Medicaid expansion, I would have supported that. I think it's good for Michigan. I think it'd be good for our community. And I think that even though there are some startup issues, some folks trying to make this a difficult process, not giving it, granting it immediate effect, so we've got to wait 3 more months and lose over $500 million in federal funds as a result of that. I think that if folks are patient and willing to get through this is probably like Social Security starting or Medicare starting.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the monumental scope of this.
And there were issues with those programs at startup. Mm-hmm. You don't start up something huge without having issues you uncover along the way.
Mm-hmm. But that, just to end up with, that was bipartisan. That was a place where I could agree with the governor and agree that that was good for Michigan to do that. So that's definitely how I would have voted, I think, as a senator as well.
Why do you think we were so well. Let me back up and ask: can you tell me, are individuals in Michigan going to be penalized because they aren't going to be able to have insurance in January? Are there penalties in Obamacare that Michigan citizens are going to encounter because we delayed it 3 months and passed up $1 billion?
I certainly hope not. I think that that question is still pending. And my intent would be to, you know, seek waivers for that circumstance. I think that the issue you're talking about is if you're not signed up for health care through the health care exchange by October 1, that you would have a tax,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But then you'd get into – then if you were Medicaid eligible. This is
right.
Only the group of folks who are eligible, that 400,000. And then they become eligible for Medicaid on April 1st. So there's mm-hmm. a three-month gap. So I would hope that that is something that reasonable officials see as an issue not of the individuals making and make accommodations for that.
I'm going to ask you a question that's probably not a fair question, and that is, what was in the mindset of senators that didn't go for immediate effect? Did they want individuals in Michigan to be penalized? Was it just mean-spirited, or did they think they were accomplishing something by delaying it 3 months?
I really don't know. You'd have to ask those who didn't vote for immediate effect.
Okay. Right. Okay. Right. I know that wasn't a fair question.
That's all right.
But
well, we appreciate
not the
you
toughest
coming.
Question you've asked other guests.
Yeah.
Yes.
We do appreciate you coming in today, Sean.
Thanks for having me on.
Talk with us.
Appreciate it. And I'm certain between now and a year from November, we may be chatting once or twice.
I certainly hope so. Okay.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank
have
you.
A good afternoon.
All right. Roger, we've got a traffic note to throw in here. South Westernage, the northbound lane from Carrabba's Restaurant, which is just, you know, just north of I-94. There's a backup in the northbound lane all the way down to the Crossroads Mall.
Okay.
So that's a pretty big one over there.
Just a minor correction.
Yeah.
Carrabba's is south of I-94.
Oh, you're right, it is. Just
and,
south of, yeah, you're right.
We don't want to confuse
right.
people.
I haven't been there in a while, so you're right.
Northbound South Westernage, south of I-94
right.
is a mess.
It is a mess, so avoid that area for quite a while.
Okay.
Like.
Thanks, Guy. News is next.
Everybody's working for the weekend.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, we got a shout out to the team, the security team at the Greektown Casino in Detroit.
Whoa.
They're all tuned in today. So.
All right.
Wow. We are a trifecta still. In place of Sean McCann is Dr. Sports, Carolyn Binder.
A different spectrum of knowledge
that's right.
than
yeah, that's
Sean
right.
had, but glad to be with you.
Yeah, and we need to do some picks.
Yes, we got our pigskin pick'em, so this is your reminder to log on to 1660thefan.com and make your picks. If you haven't signed up, you still got time. Our weekly prize is a $20 gift card to Wayside West. We already named our week number one winner, and Denny, it's time to complete our picks for week number two, and I trust you more than I trust Jim.
I have my Monsignor of Sports hat on, so bless you, my child. We'll hopefully get through this.
All right, here we go. St. Louis versus Atlanta.
I would take Atlanta.
I agree. This is going to be good. Carolina and Buffalo.
Ooh, interesting game. I would take Buffalo in that one, I think.
Okay, I'm going to go Carolina.
Okay.
So I'll take that pick.
Okay.
Minnesota and Chicago.
I would take the Bears.
Absolutely, 100%. Washington and Green Bay.
Another good game.
Yes.
I think I would take the Packers. I think they're a little upset after last week. So.
Yes, and plus they're a very highly skilled team. And
mm-hmm.
last week I think they got poked a little bit. So
mm-hmm.
I agree. Miami and Indianapolis.
I would take the Colts, I think. Yeah.
100% agree there. Man, this is easy. Dallas and Kansas City.
I don't like Dallas, so I take anybody who's playing Dallas. But I would take Dallas this week, I think.
Okay. It was 50-50 on the poll, so Dallas it is, though. We'll go with that. Cleveland and Baltimore.
Again, another interesting game. I think I would probably take Baltimore.
Baltimore. I'm going with Baltimore. They're just too good, and Cleveland is mm-hmm. not at all. Tennessee and Houston.
I would probably take Houston on that game.
Yeah, I'm going Houston. That's what I pick. San Diego and Philadelphia.
I would take Philadelphia on that one, I think. Maybe an upset. I'm not sure if that would qualify as an upset.
Possibly, but we'll go Philadelphia. Detroit and Arizona.
Detroit against Hackett Catholic. I mean, come on. I would take Hackett, you know, but...
Right.
I would take the Lions, I think, in this one.
We'll go with the Lions after my own heart. New Orleans and Tampa Bay.
I would take New Orleans.
All right. Jacksonville and Oakland?
Jacksonville.
All right. Denver and New York Giants.
I would take Denver.
All right. I'm hearing the music, so we'll have to take a little bit of a timeout. We got a couple left. Do we have time after this? There's like two more.
We'll get to it right after the news.
All right.
From CBS.
All right.
Yeah, here we are. Absolutely. Hey, Roger, we've got a call a moment ago. Cork Street, the railroad tracks on Cork Street. The gates are down, but there's no train. I can't figure that out.
Yeah.
But there's a backup from Portage all the way to Westinage. So avoid that one if you can. And again, South Westinage, the northbound lane from Carrabba's Restaurant is backed up all the way to the Crossroads Mall. So
stay out of the south side.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
just right. Go elsewhere in the community. Before we talk to Bob from AccuWeather, let's finish up our sports.
Again, the pigskin pick'em. Again, a reminder to get your picks in before the weekend. Sunday's games, log on to 1660thefan.com. Click right on the pigskin pick'em link and get yourself entered to try to win a $20 gift card to Wayside West. There was a whole handful of you that got entered for our grand prize drawing, which includes a trip to Hawaii, by the way, for the national winner.
So, there you go.
And you're
there
automatically entered to win that.
There you go.
So get yourself entered for that. And our last pick is Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. I think I know who I'm going with. And unfortunately, Denny,
I know
this goes against your heartstrings.
It's going to be a long year. But I think, too, Cincinnati will win the game.
And then our tiebreaker is the score of the San Francisco-Seattle game, which to me is pretty intriguing.
I think it's going to be high scoring, like a 34-27 type thing.
I agree. It's close but high scoring.
Right.
And I'm going to go with San Francisco 34,
Seattle
27.
I would too, yeah.
I predict the Pistons will pull it out.
Yeah.
Oh,
very
well,
good.
Thank you for your input.
Very
okay,
good.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
590 WKZO time is 3:42. And joining us now is Bob Larson. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Roger.
Bob. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
It's a lovely day, 61 degrees here.
And 59 at the airport, so we are within the range.
Yep, 2 degrees.
Yep, and you know what the average is today? We've talked about it in a while, and averages tend to change quickly at this point. Average high today is 74.
Mm.
Ooh, so we are significantly below average.
We are, after being significantly above average earlier this week. So quite a change.
Well, that's how averages are maintained.
Precisely.
I
had to find a jacket today to come in here. Hadn't had that in a while.
That's right.
Is our weather word of the day jacket?
That's a good one. The word is, it's more of a overall broad picture idea, looking at the forecast of the next several days, and that word is standard. It's more of a standard mid-September forecast compared to what we had earlier this week, which was pretty much July-like there for a few days and a few nights. But even though we're below average right now, I think long-term, over the next several days, looks pretty typical in the sense it will be pleasant by day, chilly by night, and pretty much what one would expect for mid-September.
All right. Well, I'm ready for our moment of geek.
Oh, it is that time.
Let's take a look at where we are compared to last year.
Well, we certainly know what the theme has been whenever we've done this, and that theme holds true today. Looking at 2012 versus this year, we'll take a look at temperature first. Last year at this point, 56.3 degrees was the average temperature. That was just over 4.5 degrees warmer than average, 4.6 above. With the recent warm spell, we've trimmed a little bit of that deficit that we've had so far this year. We're still below average for the year, though, but just 0.2 of a degree, 0.2. So still far cry from last year's 4.6 above to 0.2 below. Precipitation-wise, huge difference. Last year, a dry year, 19.01 inches of rain for the year at this point, only about 19 inches. This year, 32.36. Last year's number was 6.25 below average. This year, we're over 7 inches above average.
So we made up for last year and then some.
We have. We've done so. Now, we take a look at the month, and certainly we see the effects of that recent hot spell. Last year at this point in September, we were at 70.1. That was 4.1 above. This year, 70.8, 4.8 above. So even though last September, first half of September was warm, even more so this year. Rainfall-wise, pretty close. Last year, 0.91. This year, 1.12. Both are below average. The average rainfall at this point of the month would be 1.63. So we got a little catching up to do for the rain. No rain in the offing here in the short term. We've had clouds roll in today by way of lake effect, where they're giving way to clearing. Looking at clear, very chilly weather tonight. Might be frost in outlying areas overnight. And then a beautiful start to the weekend. Tomorrow, sunny. There is the possibility of a couple of showers Sunday afternoon and evening as the next front swings through.
Okay. Any relief for the people in the mountains of Colorado?
Not really. And this is something we touched on yesterday, the upper level low that has caused all of that rain and the flash flooding subsequently. Well, that system is just not really in any hurry to go anywhere. I think with time it starts to weaken a little bit and becomes less pronounced. There's less moisture. But certainly for the next couple of days anyway, i.e. this weekend, there will still be some heavier downpours that swing through from time to time. That's the case through Sunday, maybe even to some extent Monday, though I think in general next week is better and offers relief for them.
Boy.
Now, there's a new tropical storm today.
Ooh.
In a very, very quiet tropical season, Tropical Storm Ingrid.
And where is Ingrid?
Ingrid is in the southernmost Gulf of Mexico, the Bay of Campeche. I've heard it pronounced Campeche, Penpeche. Not sure what is correct, but I can tell you that it is in the southernmost Gulf of Mexico. And although it's likely to stay south of the U.S., it could spread rain up into Brownsville, Texas, maybe as far north as Corpus Christi, Texas, Sunday and Monday. Maybe heavy rain in the Rio Grande Valley by the end of the weekend.
Before we go our separate ways, I need to give you a tip of the hat. You mentioned the water spouts on Lake Michigan off of the Wisconsin shore.
Oh, yeah.
And I went looking in some pretty amazing pictures of those water spouts, including a twofer.
I did see that. That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as far as water spouts go, that was perhaps the most impressive I've ever seen.
Yeah. And so a tip of the hat for alerting us to that. I went out and actually looked at the pictures.
Yeah, pretty impressive. Pretty frightening if you were there, I can tell you that much. But thankfully, it's a little more, certainly more tranquil today.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Bob. And you have a good weekend. And we'll talk to you on Monday.
Thank you, Roger.
Thank you, Bob.
We'll talk then, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
He called us gentlemen. I like it when...
he doesn't know. He has no idea.
Oh, that's probably true.
And maybe we can sneak Chris in real quick here.
Yeah, we'll see what Chris is up to. Chris, how you doing?
I will not use this kind of word as gentleman at this point.
He knows.
He knows. You know good so-and-sos. So anyhow, Roger.
Yes.
And Sean, if you're still listening.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's just funny because, you know, all these problems that occur that put a strain on government. You know, where does government get its money from? It gets its money from the private sector. When the private sector is hurting, meaning, you know, those of us who don't work for the government or those of us who are pretty much working without government services, we're the ones affected by it. And there seems to be this vacuum that, you know, it's always the government that's suffering. You know, it's government services that are suffering, and it's not those of us who are out here every day going to work and paying our taxes that are the ones that are suffering. You know, and
you
I know Sean.
You personally. Don't drive on the roads in Michigan, Chris?
Sure, I do.
Then
I
you're think, suffering. Yeah. Our roads are horrible.
Sure. But what are we going to do? Are we going to poke a couple more businesses? You know, and help them on their way out of the state? Or do we need to create more work in the state so that more people can pay taxes in this state?
Well, in long term, that's a great solution.
It's the only solution.
But what you're missing is not taking care of our infrastructure is deficit spending. I know it makes you personally happy to see smaller state budgets, but we're going to have to fix the roads someday. And when we do, it's going to be even more expensive than it is now, Chris.
When I go to fix my roof and I don't have a job, can I go spend in deficit?
What are you going to do? Are you going to let your house fall down?
No, I'm going to repair it as cheaply and as efficiently as possible.
But you can only do that for so many years, Chris, before you can't keep patching patches.
So what should I do then? If I don't have a job and I don't have a means to pay for that roof, how am I going to pay for that roof? And that's where we're at the state. Or have been at the state. I would have to say that we're doing a little bit better than we were.
Well, then we're going to have to think about apparently raising taxes, Chris.
Well, and I know that,
Chris. We're way after the segment that you're responding to, and we have another guest waiting in the wings.
Okay.
And so I'm going to have to move on, but we'll just have to agree to disagree on this, Chris. Okay, have a good one.
Yep, bye.
590 WKZO time is 3:50. Joining us now is CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman. Steve, how are you this afternoon?
Fine, great to be with you.
And, okay, I grew up on Star Trek, and I'm a,
yeah.
I'm a space geek, and... why was it debated for so long if Voyager had left the solar system? And have all scientists finally agreed that Voyager is no longer in our solar system?
I think everyone does agree, the last part of your question, that Voyager has escaped the influence of the sun, which is the heliosphere, which is how you determine if it's in the solar system. But basically, the reason it took so long to come to a definitive conclusion is because this had never been done before, and we've been learning as Voyager went into the depths of the solar system. We've learned more about the solar system, how far the sun's influence does extend. So this was almost learning by doing. So I think around a year ago, some scientists were saying, we think it has escaped or is about to escape. As it turns out, the announcement yesterday confirmed that Voyager has been outside the solar system for around a year. But it took around a year to determine that, yes, it had done that. They had to examine. They had to agree on some of the information they were receiving, the data they were receiving. And they come up with this conclusion, which is generally agreed to right now, that, yes, it's in interstellar space onto other parts of the Milky Way.
Steve, do we have any idea of the life expectancy of Voyager? How long will we be able to track it as it goes out through interstellar space?
We'll be able to track it for a long time. Whether the scientists will be able to send commands to it and get some response from Voyager, be able to sort of dictate some of what it's doing, that's probably not going to last very long. 3, 4, 5 years. But I have to say this, and the scientists have talked about this many times. In 1977, few thought that Voyager would be responding to any commands in 2013. So it's gone well beyond what any scientists hoped it might really do. This was sort of in their science fiction Walter Mitty type dreams that, yes, it could one day escape, go into interstellar space, and begin exploring there.
A friend of mine told me that Voyager has less computing power than the average cell phone. Is that true?
I'll give you an example of how true it is. It is true. The computer capacity, the processing power of your cell phone, let's assume you have like an iPhone or a good Android phone, that cell phone has about 250,000 times the computer capacity processing capacity of Voyager. Remember, this is 1977 we're talking about. Things were much different then. Even the sophisticated computers back in 1977 could not stand up to the basic computers that you can buy in your stores today.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just an advancement of times. This is this is more than 30 years later.
Is it a Nintendo?
I think Nintendo might even be better than that.
Well, and I guess given that information, there's
Pong,
probably...
Maybe remember Pong? Maybe it's like Pong.
Right. I'm sure then there's no truth to the rumor that there's a Starbucks up there.
Not yet. I'm sure maybe some of the officials from Starbucks are deciding whether they can sell franchises in interstellar space.
Yeah, there you go.
I appreciate your taking time out to chat with us today.
My pleasure,
Steve.
And really, you take a look back on this event, it is one of the great achievements of mankind. It may not be as, get the attention of landing on the moon or putting a spacecraft on Mars, but to actually put an object outside of the solar system, when you really think about what the scientists have done, it's one of the great accomplishments, scientific accomplishments, in the history of man.
I couldn't agree more, and that's why we're chatting about it. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
Take care.
Steve Futterman, CBS News correspondent. This portion of the trifecta brought to you by Bronson Children's Hospital. Walk and 5K run on September 29th. Register at bronsonhealth.com/walkrun.
The trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.